Well, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Well, good morning. Welcome, and may the peace of Christ be with you this day. Nice to have each and every one of you joining us today, especially our visitors. And I'd like to draw your attention to a few announcements before we begin our service. Let's see, Marty, there you are. Hey, Marty, why don't you, if you'll come up here, you have an announcement about some food, I think, right?
Yeah.
The most important kind of announcement.
I know y'all can hear me without this speaker, but we're going to put it on our tape. Is that what it is? So in your pew, there are these little green tickets. Next week is our annual, the United Methodist Women do our annual soup and salad. And it's vegetable soup and broccoli soup. It's not potato soup. which Juanita really wants, but it's broccoli soup in relationship to St. Patrick's Day. It is directly after service next week. Donations are welcome. United Methodist women who are all sitting in this room, and anybody can be a United Methodist woman. I think we might even take men. I mean, we'll take anybody. But please stay next week and fill this out so we'll know how many to prepare for. But it's the 16th, and all we need to know is how many people are coming. And we'll tantalize you with some garlic bread. So you'll.
No.
Sister is wrong.
It is the first time.
I am at a loss for where to even go from there. Deborah, do you have an announcement about church council?
Yes. I just want to remind y'all, we announced it last week, but there will be a special call meeting of the church council directly after the worship service here in the sanctuary. All in the congregation are invited. Council members are advised to be here.
Thank you, Deborah. Also, there is a change from our regularly scheduled Sam's group meeting, which was going to meet on the 20th, but they're now going to meet on the 27th, still at Margaret and Derek Tickle's house, and their son will still be doing the program on kaleidoscopes. And if you haven't seen the write-up that was done in, was it the Laurel that was done? Yeah, beautiful write-up about the wonderful kaleidoscopes that he makes. Check that out if you get a chance. But he's going to be doing a program there, and you're invited to attend and bring a covered dish with you. Just note the change of date on that. And Claire, we're still selling bumper stickers for the church. Also, our bread tin collection from last month for uniforms for school children in Ghana was almost $400, $361.78. So thank you for your generosity with regards to that. Are there other announcements? Yes. Please. Okay. If you would like to give to the school uniforms in Ghana, continue to, even though it's not February, that's okay. Just make your check out and note that on the memo line or something, or put it in an envelope and just put Ghana on it, and we'll be able to get it to you to where it belongs. So thank you for that note, Madeline. Other announcements? Well, if not, I invite you to stand as we join together in our opening hymn, number 73, "O Worship the King." Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Oh,
invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to actually what will be number 766, not 776, 766, as we read responsively from Psalm number 32. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed are those whom the Lord does not hold guilty, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not hide my iniquity. Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you.
At a time of distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Do not be like an unruly horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with a bit and bridle.
Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Please be seated, and I invite our children to come and join Margaret up front for our children's time.
Morning. Thank you. Now, I brought some umbrellas this morning. Yes, a little strange, isn't it? You want to hold one? That's one. They're all kind of different kinds of umbrellas. Well, they're umbrellas. They're not different kinds, but they're some small, some's big, some's colorful. That's it. Yeah, that was in my Christmas stocking this year. Now then, what I want to talk about is God's love. And you know, God's love is like an umbrella. An umbrella protects you. What does it do? From the rain, and what else? There's other things that umbrellas protect. From the sun, well done. And there's one great big one that we usually use when we're on the beach. So that's a really big one, but I really wanted to bring one today, and so we could all hide under the umbrella. But it was a little big, and I didn't really want to put one up. So I just want to talk about umbrellas, because God's love is like a huge umbrella that protects us when we're being tempted. And we're going now into what we call Lent. And we have to think, a lot of people in our church, I'm sure everyone, is thinking of how they could make their lives a lot better from now until Easter. Because, and you know, God watches over all of us like like this big umbrella hanging over us to protect us. But, you know, when Jesus went into the desert, do you know how many days he went into the desert for? 40 days, well done. He went into the desert for 40 days, and, you know, he didn't eat anything at all. And so after 40 days, he was so hungry that Satan was saying to him, "Well, you're the Son of God. You can change these stones into bread." And Jesus didn't want to do that, although he could because he can perform miracles, but he didn't because he knew that God, his Father, didn't want him to do that. And he said to Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want anything to do with you today." So God was protecting his son like this great big umbrella. He was protecting him from Satan. And so it kept him safe while he was in the desert, and it helped him get through that hunger. So we have to think about that whenever we are tempted, because Satan was trying to tempt Jesus into doing something he didn't want to do. We have to think of that great big umbrella and how God protects us if we love him. So we have to remember that. So can we, when it's raining or even on the beach, or if you have an umbrella up to protect you from the sun, you have to think about that God is watching over each one of you. So shall we stand up and say a little prayer? And I better have my umbrellas back, especially that colorful one. Okay, thank you. Can you all hold hands? Let's make a circle. You hang on to me. There we go. Close your eyes. Heavenly Father, please protect these children with your love and help them when they're tempted to look to you and ask for protection. Just like these umbrellas give us protection, we know that your love does more than that. So we ask these things in your name. Amen. You can each go at one each side. There we go. Can you go this side and
flip? This month, the Bread Tin collections are for the Women at Risk program. I'd like to give you a little heads up on something that's coming up. It hardly seems possible that it's coming again so soon, but on March 30th, we will once again begin a week of hosting the Room in the Inn women at our church. And I sometimes think we mention this and don't explain it for people who may be new or don't know exactly what it is. So let me just briefly say, Room in the Inn is a church-based program giving safe and comfortable housing for up to 12 homeless women. There are a distressing number of homeless women in this community, and this provides housing for some of them. They come to our church for a week at a time, about four times a year. They were here in January, and they're going to be here again March 30th. And this is an opportunity for us who are more fortunate and do have homes to reach out to people who are less fortunate than we are. And let me just say that among the things that we do for these women, there are quite a lot of volunteers involved. We provide dinner for them seven times. We provide lunches for them to take with them when they go downtown. They leave our church in the morning, take lunch with them, and provide breakfast for them. So three meals. mattresses sometimes need to be moved, either brought in or moved back out. Perhaps the most challenging thing is being an innkeeper. Being an innkeeper means spending the night at our church. You come about 6, have dinner, you stay all night, you go home about 7 in the morning. One person has to stay awake. We try to have 3 innkeepers a night. You don't have to be a woman. You don't have to be, you have to be either a woman or a man, but I don't know of any alternative to that, but both women and men may be innkeepers. Both women and men may provide dinner, breakfast, or lunch, for that matter. This isn't something that is exclusively for women to provide services for women. But if you are willing to do one of these things, particularly if you're willing to be an innkeeper, particularly maybe if you're young and willing to be an innkeeper, you don't actually have to be old and gray-headed to be an innkeeper. Would you have a word, please, with Madeline Mosley sitting right under that window there? She's the one who coordinates our volunteers, and we'd appreciate it, any help you can provide. Thank you.
And I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in your bulletins. Let us pray together. Almighty God, whose Son fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet was without sin, as we are formed by your word today, give us grace to disciple ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Amen. This is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, the period of 40 days, not including Sundays. That leads up, it's a time of preparation and all of that for Easter, and the time when we remember the miraculous and awesome events of that first Easter. And always on the first Sunday of Lent, the reading is that of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness by Satan. This week, hear now Matthew's version of this temptation story. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they'll bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I'll give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock, our redeemer, and our shield. Amen. I have in my pocket this morning, as I'm sure many of you have on you, a driver's license. Right? Most people have these. Your identification, it tells you a great deal about yourself, doesn't it? If you ever forget how to spell your name, there it is. It tells us where we live. It says that I even wear glasses and am an organ donor. And it has my signature on it, my birth date, my identification, my ID. But who we are is so much more than just what's on this little card, right? It's even got a picture. I like to think that who we are is more than just the picture on our driver's license as well. Our identity, my identity, your identity, is that we are first and foremost children of our Heavenly Father. God is our Father, and we are different because of this reality. Or are we? Well, in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is still dripping wet from his baptism in the Jordan by John. This comes just before our scripture lesson, which is the story of Jesus' baptism. We overhear God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And immediately after that is where our lesson picks up. And we're told that Jesus was driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. It's just ripe for all sorts of fun stuff. The devil, isn't it? I mean, I love those old cartoons with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. That looks remarkably like Bugs Bunny in each of those, you know. It's just ripe for so many things. But Jesus was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in this story, basically the devil asks to see Jesus's ID. I like the way that Clarence Jordan, the guy who wrote the Cotton Patch Gospels and founder of Koinonia Farms, very active in the civil rights movement. He wrote this version of the Bible that was kind of the Message before the Message became so popular, you know, that paraphrase of the Bible. Well, but what Clarence Jordan does is he takes this to a new level. He, instead of just saying and putting this in ordinary terms, he tries to make it into Southern language, which those of us who are Southern and probably even those of us who are not Southern know even better that Southern is a language in and of itself, isn't it? So he puts the language of the Gospels into Southern English. And he also transforms the place where it all happened from Israel to Georgia. So Jerusalem is Atlanta. Galilee is Valdosta. You know, all sorts of stuff like this. So I want to read for you how it is that Clarence Jordan translates this. Then Jesus was taken by the Spirit into the country to be given a test by the confuser. I like that, the confuser. And after a 40-day fast, he was plenty hungry. Well, the confuser came around and said to him, "So you're God's head man, huh? Then order these stones to become palms." But Jesus told him, "The scripture says, a man shall not live on a palm alone, but by every word falling from the lips of God." Next, the confuser takes him into Atlanta and stands him on the steeple of First Church and says to him, "Okay, let's suppose you're God's head man. Now jump down from here, for the scripture says he'll make his angels responsible for you and they'll carry you along their hands to keep you from stumping your toe on a stone." And Jesus replied, "Yes, but it is also written, you shall not try God's patience." Again, the confuser gets him way up on a high mountain and points to him all the nations in the world and their splendor. And he says to Jesus, "Now, if you'll just let me be boss, I'll turn all this over to you." Then Jesus tells him, "Scram, Satan. The scripture says, you shall let the Lord your God be your boss, and you shall give your loyalty to him alone." And at that, the confuser leaves him. And you know, angels came and began waiting on him. I like that. If you're God's head man. I love the absolute simplicity of the way that Clarence Jordan translates all this with the Message. I also love the fact that he refers to the devil as, do you remember, the confuser, diabolos. That's really what it means, the adversary, the confuser. I like that. The confuser seeks to make Jesus question his identity. One of the things that I really noticed as I was reading the story this week is, and I love how every week, it doesn't matter how many times that we've heard these stories in the past, whether we've heard them for 60 years or not, there's always something that leaps out new to us. And, you know, whenever I hear the story of the temptation of Jesus, I immediately go to what I think of as the meat of the passage, you know, turn these stones into bread, throw yourself down from the temple, worship me, you know, the meat of it. But one of the things that I've missed all these years is that he begins, "If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God." He's making Jesus question his identity. We're constantly faced with this same temptation, the temptation to define ourselves by what's around us instead of by who we are as children of God. That's an important distinction there. We're always faced with this. Now, we're not Jesus. We can't turn stones into pones, you know. But at the same time, we're faced with the same sort of temptation. That to define ourselves and who we are, our identity, not by who we are as children of God, as that sign that was marked on our foreheads at our baptism, but by what happens to be around us. The Confuser, and the rest of the world for that matter, tell us that we're defined not by our baptismal identity, but by what? By how much money we make, by what we've achieved in life, by what job we happen to have, by what job we happen to have had, by how much money we have, by what car we drive, by what house we live in, by what kind of food we eat, even by what kind of brand of beer we buy, right? Or how pretty we happen to be or not be. The list can go on and on and on, but the problem remains exactly the same, and that problem is that we are constantly tempted to define ourselves not the way that God defines us, not the way that God identifies us as His children, but the way that the world and the tempter, the confuser, the devil, whatever you want to call him or her, but by the way that the world defines us instead of the way that God defines us. Churches are guilty of that same sin too. It's tempting to define ourselves as a church by what's around us instead of as the body of Christ. It's tempting to identify ourselves as a body by nickels and noses, by how many members we have, by how much money we have in the bank, by who's a member of our church, or even by who the preacher happens to be, or where the church building's located even. Friends, this lesson's here to remind us that we are more than what's around us. We are more than those external things that define us so many times. You're more than what you do from 9 to 5 each day. You're more than what you look like. You're more than what that figure is in the bank next to your name. You're more than where you went to school or what you did or do for a living. You're more because you're a child of God, claimed at your baptism, marked with the seal of the cross on your forehead. You're different. And you can't let others define you by what's around you. That's what the confuser did in the story with Jesus. Jesus is plenty hungry, as Clarence Jordan tells us. He's plenty hungry after going for 40 days without. And Jesus is saying, if you're the Son of God, prove it. If you're the Son of God, if this is your idea, if this is really you, then it's no thing for a king, the Son of God, to be hungry. Turn those stones into pones, you know? Turn those stones into bread. You're defined by what's around you, in other words. But Jesus says no. Jesus, still dripping wet from the waters of his baptism, reminds us that our identity is not in what's around us. It's not in what we look like. It's not in what we do. It's not in any of that. It's in the fact that we are called and set apart as God's children for his service. You are more because you're a child of God. Your identity is not found in what you've acquired and what you've achieved. So if you ever find yourself slipping into that mode of thought, as we all do from time to time, if you ever find yourself slipping into that mode of thought and thinking about yourself as the world sees you instead of how God sees you and how we're to see each other even, if you find yourself slipping into that mode of thought, then just say, "Scram, Satan." May the peace of Christ be with us this season of Lent, and may the power and the protection of God and his Son be among us all. Amen.
Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. Holy, holy, holy one, we have come to bow before you in prayer. Help each of us to make these moments of prayer time a time of genuine conversation with you, not just a time of, "Hi, how are you? I haven't talked to you since last week, so I thought I'd just say hello." Help us to make it an honest interchange. I'm sorry I chose not to begin the Lenten season here in your sanctuary. I'm sorry I did wrong to that coworker. I'm sorry I've been rushing around and not making time for you, oh God. It was a really busy week, and you know how I hate the solemnness of that Ash Wednesday service. Remind us that we don't have to say anything to you. We can just sit here in your presence, and that is more than enough for you. No one but you is listening to this prayer, but you, O God, so excuse me. Hear those deep concerns on our hearts. Hear those unspoken words and prayer requests. Hear what is troubling us that we really do want to share with you. Somehow you know how to sort out what we mean from what we say. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we grow tired of being phony so much of the time, of professing interest in things in which we have no interest, of chattering away because we fear the silence, of agreeing with opinions which we inwardly detest. Sometimes honesty frightens us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Even with you, O God, we observe the forms of prayer and carefully try to hide our doubts, our uncertainties, our fears. We say the things we have been taught. We're not always sinless, and sometimes we aren't even sure we want to be sinless, but we want to live more abundantly, to love more completely, to know more joy in being alive. Those feelings are genuine, O God. Lord, in your mercy, touch us with your Holy Spirit that we may be made more receptive to the abundance that is all around us. And remind us of the children of the world who go to sleep wondering where their next meal will come from. Remind us of the love that this congregation and the church can offer us. And so we lift up Corey Jacobson, a very close friend of Jessica Jackson's who was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Family, friends, and constituents of Martin Nesbitt, who leaves a mountain of legacy in public policy. Maya Lumpkins, granddaughter of Steve and Judy Rich, who will have open heart surgery in Atlanta. For Kitty's sister, Trish Barnes, as she recovers from multiple surgeries. Curtis's grandmother, Doris Goforth, and the many others who are named in our hearts at this time. We also pray for those who have never, ever known love, as we think about ways that we can reach out to the women of Room in the Inn and perhaps show them love for the first time in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, remind us of the Russians in the Ukraine and how easy it is to stir up conflict even as we pray for peace. Help us to see that anger often conceals hurt and that aloofness may disguise insecurity. May we remember that the openness of Jesus Christ, who knew people and their faults and loved them anyway, for who they were as children of God, just as each of us can bring out that identity card and say, we are children of God also. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen.
Now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. And let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks for all these gifts, but most of all for our identity as your children. Take these, our gifts of our money, but also the gifts of our lives, and use them that they might go to your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And I invite you to turn with me to page 15 as we read responsibly those words from the Great Thanksgiving. And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed human beings from the dust of the ground and breathed life into them. You gave Adam and Eve a paradise in which to live, but they disobeyed you and discovered the difference between good and evil. Their eyes were opened to behold your true glory. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, but he renounced all efforts by the tempter to win his loyalty. He died not for our own sins, not for his own sins, but for ours. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat from this, all of you, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup of wine. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. For as by one man sin came into the world, by one man sin has been conquered in Christ Jesus. By your Spirit, make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until he comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though many, are one in Christ our Lord. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in his blood. I'll remind you that in the Methodist Church we practice what's known as an open table, so anyone wishing to come forward and receive the grace of Christ our Lord is welcome. All who earnestly repent of their sin and who seek to live in peace and love with one another. So come, let us keep the feast. I invite our servers to come first, followed by the choir, and the ushers will direct you when to come forward. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for this holy mystery in which you give yourself to us, we give you thanks. Lord, go with us, be with us, and may your body and blood change us, that we might be strengthened for your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.
God, we thank you for this nourishment to our bodies and our souls. We ask that it will indeed send us forth sharing your good news in this time of preparation for that Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. We ask that you help us in this sacrament and in this season of Lent, that we might grow closer to you. Grant that we might go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Go in peace. Broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you, Cassie. Ryan, the body of Christ, broken for you. Brendan, the body of Christ, broken for you. Gary, the body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you.
God, we are so grateful for this holy mystery, this time of receiving from you, this time of reflecting on our relationship with you. May the weeks ahead truly be about building that relationship, getting to know you better each and every day, starting with this nourishment, which will send us forth. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God, our strength, God, our hope, God, our life, we give you thanks for giving yourself to us. And we ask that you help us, that we might be able to give ourselves for one another. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn, our closing hymn this day, will be number 365, Grace. Oh, special music. I'm sorry. And y'all thought that, you know, I had everything so smooth, right?
Stealing
special
thunder
music,
again.
My apologies.
Stealing thunder again.
Thank you.
What better closing? Hear now this benediction. May the blessing of Christ our Lord, and may his peace, his love, and his understanding be with all of you as you leave this place. Amen.